Yo.
Yo ho ho.
And a bottle of rum.
That's welcome right.
To MMA and stuff on halfguarded.com. My name is Matt. That is Mr. Michael Coughlin, Esquire. We are bringing you all the news and the MMA and stuff on halfguarded.com, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify, and anywhere else you can find audio programs and
yeah,
such.
If you're in the city of Chicago, sometimes I'm just yelling at people on the street.
That is a treat. Wouldn't it be funny if, like, at some point, like, the show and they followed you around Chicago to hear the show live?
Oh, that would be amazing. Can you imagine? I could just have, like, this crowd following me like I'm Ferris Bueller.
Like the Pied Piper, sort of.
Yeah.
That's more what I picture.
Yeah, yeah. Or in my case, lemmings going to their death.
Do you, you're not a rum drinker, are you? I can't imagine.
I don't know. That's like in fruity cocktails and stuff, I think.
It can be. I mean, there's nicer rums. I mean, it's like anything. It's an acquired taste, I guess, whether it's scotch or rum or tequila or whatever. But I was never a rum person, ever.
Yeah, it seems like it's something that's like mixed with like cocktails and punch or whatever.
Yeah. And, rum and Coke. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I don't know. I went with vodka for the first one. And I guess I just stuck with it because, look, if I try something once in life and I don't hate it, I will never deviate. Like, if I find something else that's way better, it's always an accident. Like, I am pathetically cautious at times. I'm not a role model for children.
Well, one person who is also not a role model for children is the winner of the main event of UFC 232 this past weekend in Inglewood, California.
Inglewood? Where?
Always up to no good.
There you go.
Attendance was 15,862 with a total gate of
$2,066,000. You know, Inglewood up to no good, making trouble in my neighborhood, works real well this week, doesn't it?
There was concerns about how this show would draw on 6 days' notice, and they sold out their arena and had a gate of over $2 million.
Because so, Rome is burning, we all have fiddles.
Hey, if I was in Inglewood,
I would have gone too.
I'd probably get beat up a lot. But if I was going there for a show, I would have checked this show out on a week's notice and cheaper tickets.
Actually,
for sure.
I say that I would go, and then I realized, like, just last week I was ranting about how I would never give these people any money ever, blah, blah, blah. And now, like, a week later, I'm like, I guess I'd pay for it. You know, the outrages come down a little.
I always enjoy a spectacle. So in the main event, John Jones defeated Alexander Gustafsson by TKO at 2:02 of the third round. And Jones did what he always does. Outside the cage, he fucks up all the time, crashes cars, gets DUIs, tests positive for cocaine and different steroids and women's fertility drugs. But inside the cage, dude's pretty much unstoppable. Like, greatest fighter of all time, bar none. I don't think you can argue that at this point, unless you want to rule against him because of the steroid stuff. But he just is so good. Like, this is the second time he fought Gustafsson, and he didn't go five rounds. He beat him in third. It was emphatic. He was switching stances. He was getting takedowns. He was landing kicks and punches and pretty much whatever he wanted at will when he got a takedown in the third and just started dropping bombs on the back of Gustafsson's head. Gustafsson was kind of laid out on his stomach, and it was kind of similar to the DC finish, except it didn't have the big high kick. But another great win for Jones, and no matter how much you may not like him and you think he's a scumbag or whatever, you can't argue how good he is in the cage. The guy's unbelievable.
Well, the way that he's been acting and holding himself for all this, by the way, okay, two people are recording good. I'm using different headphones for this.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I know, Bluetooth headphones.
I'm using a new
look at that. We're all upgrading, everybody. Look, we've got a good Christmas around here. Anyways, with John Jones, his personality, the way that he is like carrying himself now, where he's clearly just like laughing at everybody as he gets away with it again. What it's like is, imagine if like at the end of Silence of the Lambs, right? Hannibal Lecter goes off because he escapes. You've seen it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So he escapes the justice and blah, 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 and lives his life and killing people. And he kind of feels like he's like empowered to do this because like he got away with it. Except for like, imagine if instead of him scurrying away and escaping, if like the governor of the state in the movie had said, "You're okay. You're free to go. We're never going to charge you for a crime again." Imagine what he would have been like. He would have been laughing at people. He would have just been killing them and ripping their face off in front of everybody and going, "Ha, ha, ha, you can't do anything." Oh, wait. I don't even, and think about it. Jones doesn't even have to pretend like he's sober anymore. Like, he at least with Joe Rogan, he was pretending like, "I'm sober now," or "I'm changed," and this and that. And this time he's just full out like, "Nah, man, I'm not sober." Like, I thought about that's it. Not only has he said he's not sober, he's outwardly said, and that's not going to happen anytime soon. Like, he's out there mocking us all. That's how fucking good he is at this sport. It's awful.
Like, this win was impressive considering the layoff, considering how little he's fought in the last couple of years. Because Gust is no joke. I mean, he went 5 rounds with Jones when Jones was like legit in his prime, and they're both 31. He's coming off 2 wins, one over Bukovic and one over Teixeira. It's not like Gus is some slouch. He's, besides Cormier, the best light heavyweight in the world. So I don't know where Jones goes from here. Post-fight interview, he talked about a fight with DC again, but at light heavyweight. That fight doesn't really do much for me. I think we've seen that twice and know how it's going to end. At heavyweight, there's a little more intrigue maybe, but Jones made it sound like he had no interest in that.
I hope that Jones has got to be playing some sort of long con here or whatever. And here's my theory. I think what Jones is doing is he's going to taunt Cormier into coming back down to light heavyweight to say, "I mean, you're not a real champion, all this shit, blah, blah, blah." Because Jones doesn't want to move up to heavyweight because, I don't know, he's a fucking weirdo. And Jones just makes up weird shit, right? So what he's going to do is he's going to taunt Cormier into coming down to light heavyweight. So the day before the fight, Cormier's, you know, going to vacate his heavyweight title, and then he's going to fight Jones. And then that day, Jones just goes, "Oh, shit, look at that. I missed weight." And then Cormier can't fight for the belt, and everything's tarnished again. I don't know why else he wouldn't go up to heavyweight. Ah, it's fucking weird.
Yeah, like, why not just not cut any weight and fight at 225? Because that's probably his natural weight.
Well, maybe he figures...
like, is Cormier... You know what I think it is?
Because Cormier would be so much bigger than him at heavyweight? Because he'd have 30 or 40 pounds on him? Because Cormier really takes advantage Cormier takes full advantage of that 265 pounds he's given. Jones probably won't.
Like, I just don't get... Like, I feel like Jones, obviously, mentally is a little off. But, like... I don't want to say like he lacks confidence, but like this shit's showing up in his system, the Turinabol or whatever. It's like a sign that like he needs this like extra boost to confidence when clearly he doesn't because he's unbelievable. And then on top of it, it's like if both you guys naturally weigh like 230, why not just fight at 230 and not cut any weight? Like, who cares? Like, if Cormier came in at 240, what difference does it make when you already kicked his ass twice?
I don't
like
see
what's
it.
The mentality.
I don't
like to
see
me,
it.
It's a lack of confidence.
I don't see it. Know? However, Jones sees it, and Jones is like I've said, he's Trumpian. His shit always works, and he's always doing it for some reason. So until John Jones ever suffers a negative consequence for any decision he's ever made in his life, I'm just glad to do what he does.
Do you think the fight will happen at light heavyweight next, or do you see like Brock getting in there with Cormier, or like, because if Jones doesn't fight Cormier next, it's like, who's next in line at light heavyweight? Anthony Smith?
What if Jones fights Brock?
Okay.
For an interim heavyweight title. They just create one. And then Jones can steal Cormier's big payday. And then go up and then demand, and they call Cormier a fake heavyweight champion. Basically, sidestep fighting Cormier at heavyweight and then still take his title from him. Taking all the thing.
I can't imagine Dana would do that to Cormier, though. I feel like they're on pretty good terms, even though Cormier went off on Twitter about the whole USADA thing. But
good terms with Dana White die the moment he can make more money off of you.
I mean,
look what he did with Jones. Look what he did with all this shit. He burned so many good terms with this thing. I love it.
I haven't heard anything about the buys for the show, have you?
No, but I'm going to say that somebody will be like, because of the new year, there's a delay in the reporting and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. No, but I would say I felt like it was a big show. People who don't normally buy the show that I'm friendly with got it. And usually that's a sign that we're talking 750 plus anyway.
That would sound, you know, I guess that's about right. It's tough for me to figure out what Jones is as far as a draw, because
I think he's a big deal.
But that last fight was, you know, that last fight was him and Cormier, and that's kind of like those guys are a special combination. True. So, true, like, but on his own against Gus. I mean, again, 750 sounds right to me, but for all I know, it could be 900. And
yeah,
the dude's like, I have no judge on this stuff. I don't understand how the world works anymore. I just don't. I don't know how things work. I barely understand how automatic transmission works. In fact, that's a lie. I have no idea how an automatic transmission works.
I don't know how a manual works either.
I was going to say, now that I think about it, anything more complicated than a bicycle, and honest to goodness, if you asked me to explain how a bicycle works without me being able to draw something, I couldn't do it. I'm not really sure. Like, I'm not really sure how the chain functions in the bicycle deal. Mm. Like, I know there's something is connected to pedals. And like, again, I could probably figure it out, but I don't really feel comfortable saying that I know how a bicycle works either.
And you're just talking like a BMX bike. You're not talking like a 21 speed or anything.
I'm just talking like a thing with a basket in the front of it.
Is that the kind you ride?
Well, if I could ride a bike. I don't know if I could ride a bike. I presume I could still ride. I was talking to my mom the other day, and she swears that she could ride a bike still. I'm like, you haven't ridden a bike in 50 years. She thinks she can do it. So I'm going to make her ride a bike with her broken hip and see if she falls.
Can you record it?
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm not going to do this for my own amusement. I'm going to do it for the world.
There is a saying, it's like riding a bike.
Yeah, and I guess that's the saying, but I kept saying it the whole time.
You don't believe it.
The whole time I was doubting her ability to ever ride a bike again. On the back of my head, all I'm thinking is, it's like riding a bike. It's like riding a bike. It's like riding a bike. I'm like, yeah, but she's really unathletic. So this is a challenge. I really got to get a life. I really need a life. Why would John Jones think about it? I'm in some respects, not me, this whole website, you and I together are about as respectable as MMA journalists as you can get. Why would John Jones listen to any of us? Who gives a shit?
It's fair. One journalist he didn't listen to prior to the show was a woman. I forget her name at the moment. I think she was from Sweden or wherever Gustafsson is. She was like a little aggressive with her questioning. This was at a presser with Jones, Gus, Nunes, and Cyborg. And she was asking, why are you allowed to fight after 3 drug test failures? And Jones like went at her like, bad, like, who are you? Get out of here. Let's get some real journalists in here. What a joke. Like, just totally berating this woman. And then at the same time, the woman was getting booed for her questions. Like, it was ridiculous. But Jones did apologize the next night, like, after the show. He apologized to her, which I found interesting.
Good for him for doing that, I guess. He's a very magnanimous individual. That's how I generally describe John Jones. Athletic, magnanimous, big dick. These are the phrases that we use in John Jones. That was a weird situation there, because like Jones's reaction and Dana's reaction to her was way harsher than I would have expected, because it's not like they were like,
well, Dana kind of defended her a little bit. He's like, let her ask the question.
Yeah, but then like, know? He went after her like, what is this? This is an amateur, blah blah blah. And I think it's basically because she doesn't speak English. And that's really what it is. It sounded to me like what she was really trying to say was like asking, basically, why should people believe that you're clean now because of all this stuff? And I think that's what she was trying to say. But the problem is, when you're speaking to someone whose English is their second language, you have to really give them the benefit of the doubt on things. And Jones instead was just like, you're a moron.
Well, it was funny. He got into it with Bisping on some show, too, because Bisping is like, so what happens after the fight if you test positive? And Jones, like, didn't answer. Like, he just blew off the question and talked about how he was looking forward to the fight or some shit. And he was all bullshit at Bisping, I guess.
It's probably because
it's a fair question. Well, what happens if he tests with 80 picograms next week?
Then Jones
nothing?
Then Jones just says, hey, USADA, come on. Like, we've already gone this far. Are you gonna hold up yourselves now? Come on.
Right. Well, I guess the question is, if he was claiming at one point in some presser that it could be in his system for 7 years, and it's so scary.
It'll probably be in his system until roughly around the time he retires. It's a real pain. You know, it is a damn shame to think that this man accidentally ingested steroids
from at Olive Garden
from a dick pill that will stay in the system for 7 years. These are the most powerful fucking dick pills you will ever have. This is kind of like one of those, like, you know, like they tell people, like, if you take acid, you're going to get a flashback in 20 years. This is kind of like, hey, if you take this dick pill in 7 years, your dick's going to get randomly hard again because of all the steroids that are just constantly flowing through you. John Jones is a national treasure and a hero and just everything I wish I could be in life.
We didn't talk about it at all last week because the news hadn't really broken yet, that he had two other tests, like one in August and one in September that he tested positive for.
And they were each getting gradually higher and higher.
And no one acknowledged it. Dana told Gus that he only failed one test. And then, like, the next day, like, I think Nowitzki was on Rogan's show and said, oh, yeah, he had two other failures, one in August and one in September. It's like, what the hell? Like, what? Why are we testing them for any levels? And I guess they've talked about raising, like, the threshold you can have of this stuff in your system, which, whatever.
Is this going to be like how they had the Diaz rule? Now they're going to have the Jones rule? Reed,
I guess. Maybe on certain things. I don't know. Part of the issue, I think, with a lot of this stuff is, yes, one, they're shooting from the hip because you can't test this stuff on humans because it's illegal and it's not good for you. It's like, you can't have Trinibol trials to see how long the stuff stays in your system legally. Like,
Here's the thing. I think they do know, though, because there are, like, legitimate medical uses for this stuff. I'm pretty sure they know how this stuff works in the body. This is the reason this seems complicated is because they're making up horse shit. They're just looking for excuses for a guy that was caught cheating. They're like, we keep catching him.
I think it depends on the drug, though.
He's doing that microdosing shit. Here's how you know he is. Because the moment this all started coming out, a bunch of people who aren't like microbiologists, like pro fighters and everything, start going, oh, he's microdosing. So clearly the industry, if you will, knows very well, oh yeah, this is what you do to beat the test. And Barry Bonds and A-Rod were doing that shit back when they had money. So now that Jones has a little bit of money, he's just cheating. He's just a big cheater. And we all know it.
Trinibol is an anabolic steroid that is usually administered orally. It is a derivative dianabol, but is not aromatized into estrogen. It is an anabolic steroid that, although rather slowly, provides great results and offer far less side effects than the other anabolic steroids. The steroid was made by a company called Genopharm, located in East Germany in the 1960s.
That sounds like
something you want to put into your body.
I'm sure that there are legitimate medical reasons for... But somebody's making it somewhere. Although, what if it was just some, like, old stash from the 60s and that's all there's left?
The goal of the steroid was to provide better results for their athletes in sporting events such as the Olympics. Many people claim that the steroid was one of the main reasons for the domination of East German sportsmen throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Wait a second. You were saying it's not like you could do human trials with this stuff. Yeah, you can. The Soviet Union did shit like that to everyone all the time. And they were record keepers, too.
That's where the most recent Rodchenkov, the guy from that cycling movie or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing it.
He did some trials, but it's like 2011 or whatever. And it's like, oh, can we really trust this Russian's test results or whatever? Because his study said it stays in your system for 50 days. Supposedly the testing's better now is the argument. And I'm not vouching for either side. I don't fucking know.
No, that's
their argument.
That makes sense. He was saying 50 days with better testing. It could be 7 years. Definitely.
The science is really advanced since 2011.
I mean, think about this. I don't know if it's exactly true, but there's something like the human body replaces every cell in its body every 7 years. So basically, John Jones is saying this will be in me until I no longer exist as I am now. Uh-huh. I love this man.
It's I don't even know if it's him. It's the people
but
feeding
we,
the
we
information
say seven,
to him.
We say 7 years, but 7 years ago was the last time Nick Diaz won a fight.
It was 10 years past BJ Penn's prime. All right. In the semi-main event, we had one of the bigger upsets in women's MMA history when Amanda Nunes defeated Chris Cyborg by knockout at 51 seconds of the first round. This was unbelievable. Nunes came out and beat the shit out of Cyborg almost like she did with Ronda Rousey. It wasn't quite at that level, but pretty damn close. She rocked her early and just kept landing more punches, and Cyborg went out cold, flat on her face, and was out. This is Cyborg's first loss since 2005. She was on a 21-fight win streak. Nunes came up in weight, was the smaller fighter, and just blitzed her, smoked her, looked unbelievable. My one takeaway is that Amanda Nunes hits harder than most dudes.
Yeah, she does. She's got that Lineker-like kind of power where her hands just kind of they seem heavier, and her big, long monkey arms give her more leverage when she's punching you and shit like that. I can say monkey. She's not black. But yeah, I mean, look, I kind of wonder like what happened here beyond the obvious, which is she caught her and that's what happens. Cause
yeah,
it's not like Cyborg is she's fought, you know, she had that one kickboxing match against that chick who was a real good kickboxer and she wasn't like overwhelmed or anything like that. So this isn't the case of necessarily a case where the big scary chick just got exposed the first time anyone ever hit her. It's not like she's been afraid of punches, but boy, I mean, Amanda Nunes, you always think like people are always saying like first strategy, like, you know, you got to get them early, right? Like you don't want to wait. Like that's what it means to get off first base, man. Get them early. Just go out there and punch her right in the fucking face. And God damn, it was incredible. And I mean, Amanda Nunes, we will see the upper limit as to how many pay-per-view buys a gay, lesbian, Brazilian woman can ever earn, because she will never be a bigger star than she is now. Whatever her next fight is as big a star as she could possibly be.
Like, to put it in perspective, like, Cyborg hadn't lost since 05. Like, Tough hadn't even started yet.
Jeez. I mean,
do you know what I mean? It
yeah.
was the first season of Tough when she lost last fight.
I was an undergrad. Like, that's ridiculous.
It was before Hurricane Katrina.
Like, they hadn't, like, most of the... Think about that.
Imagine what the steroid testing was like back then.
I was going to say, like, the stuff that was in your system then could be detected for, like, 12 years or whatever. They weren't good enough at hiding it. I mean, 2005, that is two John Jones cycles of steroids, apparently. That's a long-ass fucking time. 13.
Your favorite movie came out that year.
The Edge? No, that was 97.
Brokeback Mountain.
Oh. Yeah, it's a good movie. It really is a good movie. Like, I know what people think. I know people think it's like, I mean, it could have used a little more
sex,
a little more penetration. Yeah, but it is what it is.
Totally. Anyway, it's rare on one show you get to see the greatest men's fighter and the greatest women's fighter of all time.
Yeah, I think it could be very fair to say that. On 5 days' notice, the people of Los Angeles got to witness history. How magnificent and honorable it came across in person.
What where do you go now though? If you're the UFC, do you get rid of the featherweight division? Suppose Cyborg's got one more fight on her contract. Do you run this fight back again and then have Cyborg be a free agent? Like to me, like from a matchmaking context and a contract sort of deal, that doesn't make a lot of sense. Because if Cyborg comes back and beats Nunes and then wants more money or whatever, they're just sick of her shit and want to let her go. They're kind of in between a rock and a hard spot, but in that situation.
Yeah, it did seem kind of like Dana's attitude immediately after the show was kind of like, well, why would I do that? I'm not going to do that. Like, there's no reason for this. And I kind of, Dana never forgets when you fucked him over. He's like Trump in that regard. And I can see this as being his situation, but like, yeah, fuck you. You wanted Tito as your manager? Here's how we deal with Tito as a manager. Let's play ball.
Well, there's something too, like there's a timeline on her contract, like March her contract's up. Like she doesn't, it's a weird one where if she doesn't fight again before March, I think she's just a free agent or something. It's weird. So I'll be curious.
At the same time, I will say this for Cyborg. in some respects, obviously, until recently, she had proven that she was more or less worth her contract. She had done everything you could have asked her to do, she did, and she was drawing well, it seemed. So if I'm her and I don't get offered a new deal by the UFC, I'm sitting there going, well, that's kind of bullshit. Now, if I'm the UFC, I might think, okay, there's no point to offer a contract to the chick that's the only person in the division.
Right.
And they are in a title killing spree right now. So what you do is you get rid of this title, you tell Cyborg she's moving up to 155, you bring in Kayla Harrison.
And really beat Cyborg up?
Hey, I'd be really interested in that.
If Cyborg had won this fight, I could see that. But now, I don't know. Either way, it's interesting because it's a weird division with no women in it. And Nunes, I mean, can make 135.
A hell of a division. It's a division with nobody in it. Nobody in that division. Nobody who is naturally in that division has
Megan Anderson
has really won a fight recently, except for Megan Anderson, who won by toe poke.
She's wicked. She's like 6'1" or something. She's
big.
Huge.
She's a natural 45er.
For sure.
The only one in the world.
I saw something that they weighed the fighters fight night, and Cyborg only weighed 4 pounds more than Nunes.
So clearly they're just lying about all kinds of shit now.
California is.
Why not?
Prior to that, we had Michael Chiesa defeating Carlos Condit with a Kimura at 56 of the second round. A lot of mat work in this one. Condit was able to get back up a few times, but Chiesa was usually on top. Condit was going for some submissions on the ground, but it was a weird finish. Like, Condit's, like, I think it was his left arm was, like, wrenched behind him, and he was kind of posting on it, and then, like, I don't know. Chiesa kind of put weight on it and kind of got caught, and it was just in an awkward position, and
Chiesa
kind of tapped out real quick.
Chiesa put him in a Kimura, and then with the one with the hand that's normally grabbing his own wrist, he just grabbed Condit's wrist instead and used that as the leverage. And then he could put he put his other hand on the hip to keep the hip in place, and then he could torque it a little bit. It's a heck of a it's a neat little deal. Like, I don't know if it would necessarily always finish guys, because I can see like how like losing. I don't know. It's not a bad little technique he's got there. Obviously, it worked. So.
Yeah, it was just weird how, like, Condit was sitting up, sort of, and, like, just the weight, it just looked like it was wrenching his shoulder. It was just awkward. But this is, I think, Condit's fifth or sixth loss in a row. And it's not like he's looking bad, but he didn't take a lot of damage. But, yeah, he's lost 5 in a row and 6 of his last 7. It's probably time to hang him up, I would say.
That last fight with him and Lawler just kind of destroyed both those guys forever, didn't it?
It feels that way.
Yeah, it's kind of, we say things like that, and you go, oh, a guy will never be the same. And then you're, like, watching people in real time, you're going, oh, shit. Like, I watch for entertainment a human being's body break down so much so that they'll never be the same person again. And I barely even remember it.
To put it in perspective, he's 2-8 in his last 10.
The UFC really has to stop doing this shit. Let's stop letting guys get to this.
Especially when they're not draws. Like, nobody really gives a shit about Condit. Like, I remember him from WEC, or knocking out Dave, coming back and beating Rory McDonald. Like, that's the Carlos Condit, like, I remember. A natural born killer, just nasty. Nasty fighter, mean. And I just feel like he's an old dad now.
What he is
you know,
he
was good. You know what I mean?
I think talent wise, he's always kind of been, it was basically that Bellator level. And I think Bellator is kind of the level he'd be at talent-wise right now. He's the kind of guy that, when he's had his athletic peak for a little bit of time, he can compete in the UFC at the high level, no doubt. But now that he's past that, he'd be better. Let's face it, let's watch him in Bellator. Let's see him and Paul Daly. That'd be sad. Him and Lorenz Larkin. There you go.
I'd rather just not see him fight anymore.
Well, that's
I think he's got 43 fights. It's like, it's enough. Like,
or Japan. You could go to Japan and do something. That's
Gabby
free money.
Garcia.
That's free money. Apparently, you don't have to do anything in Japan to make a lot of money. That's a lesson.
Good one for Chiesa, though, moving up from 155 up to welterweight.
Yeah, and this also boosts the stock of Anthony Pettis.
Chiesa didn't look small at all either. Like he looked fine at welterweight.
He did. He looked a little thin still compared to Condit. Condit seemed like he was a little naturally thicker. But Chiesa's got like a big frame and heights, and it looks like he could pack if he packed on a little girth. That'd help him. A little more girth.
Yeah. I get it. Corey Anderson defeated Iller Latifi, unanimous decision 29-28 on all three cards.
I have no recollection of this fight. I can't zero recollection.
It happened. Iller Latifi's still short.
Yeah.
In the opener, we had Alexander Volkanovski defeating Chad Mendes by TKO at 4:14 of the second round.
Yeah, it seemed like old Chad just kind of gassed out or something. I'm not sure. And Volkanovski proved to be the rare, tough Australian.
And Chad Mendes retired after this loss.
One of my favorites is the, you beat me, but you know what? I'm retiring just to make sure that no one gives a shit. Like, you didn't really beat me, man. Like, I kind of already had one foot out the door. Doesn't count.
Yeah, obviously the biggest win of Volkanovski's career. Mendes, I'll always just remember for losing to Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor.
Had a hell of a little career for being a short steroid user.
It was for his psoriasis.
Yeah.
On Fox Sports 1, Walt Harris defeated Andre Arlovsky in a bad fight by split decision.
Yeah. That's...
Megan Anderson defeated Kat Zingano by TKO. Eye injury at 101 of the first.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of... She kicked at her and the toe, like, grazed the eye or something. And then Kat covered up and they said that that's a submission TKO or whatever. And I'm like... I guess, but and I know that if the referee doesn't stop it, it doesn't count, but like it reminds me of Vitor and Randy Couture that one time where you're like, okay, something kind weird happened, but we really should just like have a rule for this because clearly nobody in the world ever thought, oh, she's going to win the fight because her toenail is going to graze her eyeball. Like, that's not a win.
So what, no contest?
I have no idea. I would just let them fight again. Right away that night, I would just tell Kat Zingano, "You got to suck it up, Buttercup. We'll let you splash some water."
And then she says, "I can't. I can't see out of my eye."
Then it's a submission due to cowardice. And we need to have that. We need to have that next to my favorite sure dog, like the TKO submission retirement cowardice.
Nice. Okay. Peter Yan defeated Douglas. Oh, Megan Anderson now. The number one contender at featherweight?
Sure.
Number two behind Cyborg.
I mean, she's...
Cyborg must be number one contender.
On a given day, if you just took all of the women in the featherweight division and put their names in a pot and just randomly drew them out, on any given day, these two ladies would either be one or two every single time.
You know what I would watch and be okay with? Nunes versus Holly Holm at featherweight.
Did they ever fight it?
They've never fought somehow.
Oh.
They've never fought.
That fight would be terrible.
Yes.
That would be really that'd be a bad fight because Holly Holm fights suck. Honestly, I don't want to see Amanda Nunes fight anymore. Like, don't get me wrong, if she fights, I'll watch it. But for the most part, like, she's a boring ass fighter, and she's had these two amazing moments. Let's just end it there. She's never gonna do any better. She's never gonna be more exciting than this. Just quit while you're ahead. All right, goodbye your girlfriend a car and avoid California taxes.
Also, Shevchenko, how good is she? She's at like 125 and has gone five rounds and might have won one of those fights against Nunes, who just beat the shit out of Cyborg, who no one's ever beat. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's.
I know that's weird MMA math, but like the more you think about Shevchenko, it's like she's good. She's really good.
And she's. You know, even though it's smaller, she has owned the shit out of Joanna throughout her career also. So, like, she's dealt with technical shit. She's dealt with bigger chicks. Yeah, I'm comfortable saying Valentina Shevchenko is the greatest female fighter of all time.
Pound for pound. Peter Yan defeated Douglas Silva Andrade by TKO, corner stoppage at the end of the second.
Yeah, I think No, I was thinking of the Vinny Magalhaes fight, I think. Yeah, this is, I don't know.
Ryan Hall beat BJ Penn with a heel hook at 2:46 of the first.
My gosh, this was the saddest thing on the show. I mean, he just rolled into it and grabbed a heel hook. BJ turned the complete wrong way. Like they were like, if you're like everybody turns the correct way in a heel hook. It's kind of like he just got tapped right away. It was over. It was like BJ's not even losing because of athleticism or anything. This is just him losing because he's not good enough. Oh my gosh, Ryan Hall beat you in a minute. In a minute, you need to bury yourself in the sand, BJ. Just leave your head above it so children can come by and just use you as like a guidepost in their play in the ocean. That's the only thing you're good for anymore, BJ. You're done. You gotta stop.
On the prelims on Fight Pass, Nathaniel Wood defeated Andre Yule with a rear naked choke. Uriah Hall defeated Bevon Lewis by knockout. Curtis Millender defeated Saya Bahadurzadeh, unanimous decision. And Montel Jackson defeated Brian Kelleher with a dar set, a minute 40 of the first.
I bet Montel Jackson's black because there's no way in fuck. There's no white guy ever named Montel.
Fight of the night went to Alexander Volkanovski versus Chad Mendes. Performances went to Amanda Nunes and Ryan Hall.
Yeah, I can't really argue against any of those other than to say there is something to the fact that John Jones just get like everything because he's so good. But I wouldn't give him anything because he's a cheater. So call this the USADA tax. He could still pop, like for real. Although at this point, if you're California and his test came back with something in it, what on earth would you do? Who would you tell? Like, how could you
Well, it
tell
gets
anyone?
you know what I was thinking about? Like, what if Gustafsson got like a legit injury? Like, would he have any claims like against UFC or California or something for letting this guy in there with this in his system?
No. Like,
No.
here's it.
What's the point
Yes.
of the drug testing then?
Okay.
Like, he failed the
Yes.
drug test.
He does.
Okay.
In the same way that Mark Hunt does. It's just that
Right.
it's a theoretical deal, and actually proving it would be so difficult. I mean, there'd be so many people involved. I mean, especially with a government cover like that, the government couldn't be held liable. In the UFC, it would be a tough one. Man, hey, the money might be worth it. Look, I'm willing to
Well,
give it a shot. I'll do it.
California sanctioned Jones knowing he tested positive for this test. Nevada wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a.
Unless like Gustafsson just signs off and says, no problem, I'll fight him. I don't care if it's in his system,
Here's the
then
thing.
I guess
Even
they're not liable.
that's what it probably ultimately come down to. That'd be their strongest argument, but it would be interesting. I would definitely take the case. So Gus, if you're feeling like your head hurts a little more than it should, you're right. You've been screwed by the man, the black man.
There were a couple other entertaining shows this week.
Yeah, there were.
On New Year's Eve, we had two giant shows. One was Ryzen 14 from the Saitama Super Arena. In the main event, we had Floyd Mayweather Jr. defeating Tenshin Nasukawa by TKO corner stoppage at 2:19 of the first round in an exhibition boxing match.
That was the main event.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Floyd
I thought for
Floyd's
sure
not.
it would be like some sort of like semi-main event or middle of the card. And like on the main event, they'd have like something that wasn't a total. Wow, they really went for it. Huh. Oops.
Floyd just tooled tension. It wasn't even like when I was watching it, I questioned whether it was a work or not because it was so one-sided and so stupid looking. Like tension, like when he got knocked down, would like flop around and like roll around the ring, like he was selling like Shawn Michaels against Hulk Hogan at that SummerSlam. Like it was bad, and I guess he's never been knocked out in his career ever. So just his behavior and his selling here just looks suspicious to me. And maybe I'm an idiot and Floyd's just bigger and hits a lot harder and outweighs Tension by 20 pounds. And maybe Tension is 20 years old and has never professionally boxed in his life. And he's fighting the best boxer of this generation. Maybe that's the issue too. But
probably.
It was not a good fight. It was like Tension was trying to punch Floyd as hard as he could. And Floyd just put his arms up and absorbed the punches and then just like socked him in the face and knocked him down repeatedly, like three times in 2 minutes.
I mean, if it's a work, if it's not a work, does it really matter? At the end of the day, the result is exactly the same. The spectacle is the same. Like when I think of like, forget about whether or not it makes sense to work it or whatever, who benefit, but it's like, okay, who cares? Like really, I don't know what would be going on. I mean, they paid Floyd. I don't know. I think it's safe to say he's just bigger and better. And, you know, Tension got hit.
Just
one of
the way Tension was falling down and getting back up. Like, I've seen a lot of boxing matches and guys get knocked out or knocked down. And, like, they don't fall down like he did and, like, roll around. And, like, it was like Brock and Kane, some of it, where it was, like, flipping around.
That may be a good example, which is these aren't pros. You know, they're not, he's not a professional. I mean, he's not a professional boxer though. He doesn't have the balance. His balance isn't there. He's a 19-year-old kid. One of those punches, like the first one that dropped him, it looked weird, but that's the reason I think the fight is definitely not a work is because it looked weird. It was the kind of fall that you can't work a fall like that. That's that when you go to step on a staircase, the step and you miss the step kind of fall. We're like, oh shit. Like he just kind of like fell that way and you can see his equilibrium seemed off. And I think it's a 19-year-old kid who was really, really dizzy and outweighed by 25 or 30 pounds by the greatest boxer of all time, maybe. And he's got to be and all of a sudden he's looking around, seeing stars, and he's like, uh-oh. And he knows he's in a country where they are very, 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 very willing to let you get the shit beat out of you for your entertainment. Like, in the States, if you see some guy like that, in the States, that probably never happens because the referee look at his eyes and be like, oh, my gosh. His eyes are clearly glassy. This man can't see. Like, even in the 30s, they would have looked at him and be like, he's clearly concussed. This is dangerous. And in Japan, they're like, you good now, ha. Huh? And they send him on his way. I was trying not to go racist with it there at the end because I had a really good point. There was a non-racist point about the brutality of the Japanese culture, and I reduced it to a terrible stereotype. I'm a monster.
Floyd was reportedly paid $9 million for this.
So was it going to be $1 million a minute or something like that originally? And
it could have been, yeah.
Still seems kind of light.
I saw something funny. I don't know who posted it, but like, why does Floyd need $9 million when he already has $1 billion? It's like, if I had $100,000, I would take another $9,000.
Yeah,
like, exactly. I don't understand that logic.
Like, it's at a certain point, like you forget, like, oh, it seems like it's not a lot of money. It's still $9 million. Like, it's basically enough money to buy anything in the world. Like, if you had just an extra $9 million laying around, you could buy anything you want. Or, like, $9 million is kind of like extra money. You're like, I'm going to start buying weird art. Like, I'm going to buy shit from, like, the Netherlands or whatever just because. And you're like, why'd you do that? You'd be like, I had an extra $9 million bucks laying around. I took a trip to Japan for a weekend, and I got $9 million bucks, and I came home, and I bought a Van Gogh, one of his earlier ripoffs, before he was outed as a pedophile.
In the co-main, Kiyoshi Horiguchi defeated Darian Caldwell, guillotine choke at 11:13 of the third round to win the inaugural Ryzen Bantamweight Championship. It says 11:13 of the third round. Or maybe total time.
Yeah.
Maybe it's total time.
That would make a lot more sense. Otherwise, I want to see this fight because that's an interesting round system. I like the that's a good one. What if MMA fights were first rounds 5 minutes, second rounds 10 minutes, third rounds 15 minutes, and it just kept getting longer and longer as the fight went on? Guys would know, like you'd be like in the eighth round, and you'd be like the eighth round, you'd be like, oh, fuck me, man. Like, if we don't do this now, if I don't finish this, the next round is going to be even longer. Like, I'm going to have to go 50 minutes for the next round. I just went 45. I can't do this.
Good win for Horiguchi, moving up from 125 to 135 and beating a real guy in Caldwell.
Sure.
It is. And in the fight everyone wanted to see the most, Gabby Garcia defeated Barbara Nepomuceno with a key lock at 235 of the first.
I mean, it was in fact a key lock, which is the submission of the moron. Like, that's the kind of mongoloid submission. That's a submission a big person gets, because they're just laying on top of you and their hands are kind of like right there. And like a Kimura, you have to kind of shift your body. Maybe you want to step over the head, create more leverage or whatever. The key lock is just kind of like grab it and wrench it. Just bring that wrist to the back of their head and go. So you have you don't have a lot of skill there. Also, you don't need a lot of skill when you're a 250-pound woman.
I believe she weighed in at 225. Her opponent here, Barbara, weighed like 204. So this is one of the more similar-sized fights you'll ever see for Gabby. Horrible striking, but she kind of pushed Barbara, old Barbara, down and fell on top of her and got the key lock. Post-fight, an old grandmother, former pro wrestler, I think Candori or something, got in the ring and tried to attack her. So I think that Shinobu Candori, I think is her name. That fight has not happened twice because I think Candori got injured. So maybe we can get that next New Year's Eve.
I mean,
if she's still alive.
Like, okay, what kind of opponent can we get? What kind of person naturally will have a very, very, very destroyed body? I know, a pro wrestler. Their bodies are fraught and frail and shot. Oh, but what about somebody else? Oh. What about a grandmother? Old ladies are often frail. What if we combine the two of them and then have her fight somebody that weighs 100 pounds more than her, who's a steroided Brazilian woman? What is wrong with Japan? Why does no one in the world seem to acknowledge the fact that Japan is a really weird fucking country? We just let this shit happen. If this was happening in Saudi Arabia, do you know the outrage we would have as Americans? Imagine if they brought in 250-pound steroid women to beat up small little Arabic women in their little headdresses, and we just for their as a bunch of sheiks sat there and like clapped and applauded this. We'd be like, this is horrifying. This would be brutality. Yet in Japan, it happens. We're like, oh, look at that. There's probably like a Hello Kitty thing involved.
We would be terribly remiss if we didn't discuss the Garcia-Candori feud a little more in depth. Candori was expected to face Gabby Garcia on December 31st, 2016 at Ryzen's year-end show in Saitama. However, a rib injury forced her to pull out of the fight. She was replaced by Yumiko Hoda. And I think Hoda. She was the one that ran back and forth across the ropes, I think.
Sure.
Crossing. And then Candori was set to face Garcia again last year, December 31st, 2017. But this time the fight was canceled due to Garcia missing weight by 28 pounds.
That happens. I mean, who doesn't remember those times when they booked it? You know, we say that, but at least they canceled the fight. California would have sanctioned it.
Why does Candori want to fight Garcia so bad? It's so weird. She's 54.
Well, you have to understand that there are no other female fighters for her to fight. She's desperate for anything, and finally, another female has emerged, and Candori has an opponent. She's been waiting her whole life. She's like 54 or whatever. It's been decades. She's been she's watching the TV, the news. She's seen the states, like as all the women in the Orient do, where they're like, oh, I wish I had those freedoms that they have there. She's seen Ronda Rousey rise to fame, and she's going, I knew it. I knew one day the time would come for us women. No longer would she have to just beat up people in like, you know, bars and shit like she's probably doing like for most of her career, like her and Tanya Evinger. Wouldn't that be a great buddy movie? Candori and Tanya Evinger just going around drinking and beating the shit out of cowboys.
I'd watch.
I totally want to see that now.
Candori made her MMA debut at LLPW Ultimate L1 tournament in July of 1995.
I remember that tournament very well.
She beat Liz Africano.
There's like a good chance like the great Sasuke was on that show or something.
Probably. Her last fight was in 2000 against Yumiko Hota.
She could have been a contemporary of Chris Benoit.
I bet you she wrestled on a show with Chris Benoit.
Yeah, that's really
awkward. She had a 5-star match with Akira Hokado in 1993.
Like, seriously?
Yeah.
Like, okay. And now she'll get beat up by Gabby Garcia next year on New Year's Eve. Think about it. Her feud.
It comes full circle.
Like, think about that, though. This feud runs on presidential election cycles. Like, Hillary Clinton may get revenge against Donald Trump before Candore does on Gabby Garcia.
She also did judo. Huh. Interesting.
By the way, I will say this about Floyd, though.
Yes.
This is the first time I've ever heard of a black guy being falsely accused of working. So. I wrote that down earlier today, and then I said a reminder.
You wrote that down?
I wrote it down, and then I said
that's not even good.
It was better in my head when I wrote it out earlier, and then I said a reminder to remind myself. It would have sounded a lot better coming off the cuff, being like, hey, look, nobody's gonna believe that Floyd was working. He's a black guy or something like that. But instead of, like, I kind of shoehorned it in after Gabber Garcia. And,
Gabber Garcia. All right. Anything else on Ryzen? I don't think so. Nothing of note. Then last night, not last night, but the most recent show on New Year's Eve was the PFL Finals. We have 5 new millionaire MMA fighters, and only one of them retired immediately afterwards. We had Magomed Karimov defeating Ray Cooper III by submission guillotine choke at 218 of the second to win the welterweight title.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah.
Felipe Lins defeated Josh Copeland via TKO at 30 seconds of the fourth round to win the heavyweight title.
They gave that guy $1 million.
Sean O'Connell got $1 million for defeating Vinny Magalesh via TKO at 5 minutes of the third. It was a TKO corner stoppage to win the light heavyweight strap.
That fight was awesome. Like, that was a really good fight. So I was very happy watching it.
I watched that fight as well. Magalesh, like, still looks like he's never, like, done any striking ever. Like, it was bad. He was gassed after the first round, just kind of, like, laying on his back, trying to get O'Connell to come down with him. Then O'Connell would go to the ground with him and just punch him in the face repeatedly. Like, Magalesh looked really bad.
And yet,
I thought.
And yet, at the very end, Magalesh almost grabbed an armbar.
I saw that. Out of nowhere. Yeah.
And it was just like, he came really close to it. But for the most part, his striking was such that Gabby Garcia was criticizing him. And his cardio was such that Bob Sapp was going, come on, man, you got to run a little bit. Like, he kind of had that look on his face like Sapp had in that fight where he's just, like, so dead tired. He's just punching the guy, and at the end he's happy, except for in this case, he just lost, got knocked out.
You think if you had $1 million on the line, you
would go for a jog.
The shape of your life?
I would definitely go for a jog. Somebody said, hey, if you just go for a 3-mile run every day for the next 6 weeks, you win $1 million. I'd be like, I think I could do that. I think I've got that. I think I've got that half an hour to commit every day just to go for a run. It turns out I'm also a professional athlete. So it'll just fit into my regular schedule of always exercising.
Yeah, you would think, wouldn't you? Someone who looked in pretty good shape, though, was Kayla Harrison. She defeated Moriel Charneski, a 2-3 fighter, via TKO at 339 of the first round. This fight was contested at 155 pounds. Harrison looked really, really good. She beat the shit out of this woman on the ground, just punches. She couldn't get up. She had her mounted. Obviously, the competition is very thin at 155. If you think 145 is bad, it's going to be that much worse at 155. But Harrison looks really good, really athletic, like she won a couple gold medals. And it's too bad that there aren't any women around her size, because she looks really good. I'd love to see her against, like, other real fighters. It's just a bummer that none exist right now.
Kind of makes me wonder about how difficult it was for her to get that gold medal in judo. Like,
I think it might be different, like, worldwide, though, as opposed to MMA in the United States.
No, I'm sure that she had, like, real competition and all that, but at the same time, how many women are that big competing in, you know, combat sports on any in any way? And, I mean, obviously, yes, she was the best of all of them, but you would think that there'd be a bunch of, like, the silver medalists from the other years or something like that who might do MMA, and instead she's fighting the chick that's 2-3. Who's like, who may or may not have lost to Kandori once back in Amarillo, Texas in the late 90s or something.
There is women's heavyweight judo. That's 78 kilograms. Half heavyweight is 70 to 78. Middleweight 63 to 70.
Oh, I know they have it. I'm just saying the talent pool.
No, I'm just wondering. No, but I'm wondering where she falls, though.
Kandori, you know what I mean? By the way, go back to that. Kandori was a contemporary of Terry Funk.
Well, 70 kilograms would be 154, so that's probably where she fought. So she fought at middleweight. There's two weight classes above her. She was right in the middle. I'm not saying there's a ton of women her size, but it's not like she's the biggest one. She's not in Gabby Garcia's division.
No, yeah, no, there's Gabby Garcia does exist out there. Her match, you can see her skill level is clearly excellent. Nobody likes fat chicks.
I don't think either of them are fat.
Too fat for me.
Interesting.
I have very high standards.
I guess. I'd just be more scared of either one of them.
Kayla Harrison actually would be, probably seems like it'd be a nice person to go on a date with. Gabby would kind of scare the shit out of me. Like, she would, like,
I think that,
imagine her, like, I mean, it's awful.
I don't want to think about it.
It just seems like every one of those skits with DX on, like, some sort of date with China or something like that. Like, I've just pictured, like, you're on a date and, like, there's Shawn Michaels behind you in like, spandex with a rose between his teeth. He's kind of shaking his ass in your face.
I think they could both easily beat the shit out of you, though, right?
Who's Shawn Michaels?
Shawn Michaels, Kayla Harrison, and Gabby Garcia could all kick your ass.
I think I could beat up Shawn Michaels.
Really?
Shawn Michaels isn't going to fight. Like, it's fake. None of it works for real.
I feel like he could super kick you.
Yeah, but I can hear him hitting his foot on the ground. I know what his tail is. And I've seen it countered into an ankle lock, so I know what to do.
Another millionaire is Nathan Schulte. He defeated Rashid Magomedov via unanimous decision 48-46 on all three scorecards to win the lightweight title.
I mean, when they were standing backstage, one of the executives from NBC Sports must have looked at us and go, this is a really bad idea. Like, we all agree. We will never be giving away $1 million to people who could have been named Magomedov. And yet nobody named Magomedov won anything.
The first Magomedov did. Right, yeah. The welter Magomedov.
One of the other three or whatever did not. But
yes. Lance Palmer defeated Steven Seiler by unanimous decision to win the featherweight title.
Did he get $1 million for that, or was this just for the fight? That was a tournament also?
Yeah, all these are tournament fights.
Wait, was Kayla Harrison's a tournament?
No.
Okay. She had a title, didn't she?
I don't think she did.
I thought they gave her a shiny belt to celebrate the impressiveness of... You know, look, I could have missed it. You need to commemorate that victory over a 2-3 chick. You're going to want to look on your wall, but there's a gold medal I got for winning the Olympics. And there's that belt I got for beating that chick that was 2-3. It's a 3-3 if you count that one win over that chick at Arby's. So.
Lewis Taylor defeated Abu Supian Magomedov via knockout at 33 of the first. Crazy knockout. This Magomedov went down hard. Like, he was out.
Like
the tree falling. The good news is, like, I think four of Ali Abdelaziz's fighters lost, so he didn't get that big bonus. He stood to earn $500,000 off this show.
Gee, funny how that works out. Good for Lewis Taylor, by the way. I used to train with Lewis a little bit. Like, many, many years ago, I've talked about that thing, and now he's a millionaire. I assure you.
You guys have gone on divergent paths.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to say. Yeah. Wow, when you put it that way. You know, I'm starting to see more and more of this in my life, just people taking the path I didn't take, and they're all having incredible success. I think I might need to make some changes in my life.
PFL President Carlos Silva said, "We are thrilled to have six deserving champions earn their titles at an unprecedented $1 million in front of a great New York crowd on New Year's Eve."
He should have said, we are grateful and proud to have five deserving champions and never told anybody who was the bad one.
Each of them fought their way through the grueling playoff system to come out as champions in their respective brackets. We're looking forward to what 2019 holds as our inaugural season proves that the PFL's unique format works and promotes enticing matchups culminating in one champion.
Hey,
it's sad when Gabby Garcia gets more talk fighting a grandmother than your entire $1 million show.
Look, if you ignore the fact that they spent like $10 million or whatever on bullshit tournaments, it's a great idea, and I applaud them, and I hope they do this every year. I love the tournament format. I fucking love tournament, love tournament, love tournament. I think it works out perfect to have your tournaments all year, and then you have something on New Year's Eve for some loser like me who's just like, I got nothing to watch. I'm going to watch Gabby Garcia. I'm going to watch the American Gabby Garcia. And
but here's the thing. There's too much MMA is the problem. Like, I don't have an issue with this format. Not. Okay. This show had no hype, and it was the biggest show of the year.
Oh, I'm not saying this is a viable or good business model, mind you, at all. Okay. Like, they're not going to make any money, but if they're going to burn money, they might as well burn money in a way that I find entertaining as a product.
Okay.
Like, I don't really know. Understood. Like, Bellator, they've had their tournament, and honestly, it's actually been the most memorable thing they've done, and it's been a piece of shit. Tournaments are great. People like tournaments.
Like that thing, Dada versus Kimbo is the most memorable thing they've done.
That's kind of part of a tournament. The tournament of life. Both own the loser bracket on that one.
Dana White says Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor rematch should happen in 2019.
Well, I would hope so. I would hope that after the past week, we are all very, very clear that the UFC is going to do whatever makes the most money possible, that there is nothing else here. Sorry, Tony Ferguson, you're never going to fight for the title.
White told TMZ Sports, I think a lot of people want to see that fight.
Yeah. We're
going to see how this thing plays out. Obviously, again, we haven't gone in front of the Nevada State Athletic Commission. That's got to happen. And when it does, we can figure out how this whole thing plays out.
In case anybody, by the way, was ever also under the misinterpretation of the reality that the UFC was upset with Conor or Khabib for this at all. On New Year's Eve, I turned on ESPN2 randomly, and there was UFC. And I was like, oh shit, it's begun. And the first thing they showed was Conor versus Khabib. And I'm like, oh, okay, I hit the record button. Wake up in the morning the next day to finish watching the fight, because I turned it off for the New Year's, the celebrations, if you will. And they showed the entire post-fight melee. They interspliced amazing camera work, like actual good cameras, like this beautiful shot of Khabib launching himself overhead. Like, they played it up. They got great angles and all of it. So they are running right into it. They are not ashamed. They don't think anything bad came of this, which should surprise no one.
Yeah, was that Ariel Helwani New Year's Eve show? He did like a 3-hour show on ESPN.
No. Oh, and maybe he did something, but this was just, it looks like they just pretty much repackaged shit from Fox Sports. But
maybe it was after Helwani's thing. I think there was UFC stuff on after that too.
Yeah,
he did like an award show end of the year sort of shit.
I did not spend my New Year's Eve watching Ariel Helwani. God damn it! There we go again. I spent my New Year's Eve watching MMA. I did the same thing Ariel did. I just didn't get paid for it. My sliding windows or whatever doors moment is really awful.
White went on, is Max Holloway moving to 155? Tony Ferguson's obviously in the mix. We got to see how this thing plays out. When pressed on whether the fight could happen this year, White concluded that it could. Yeah, I do, White replied when asked if the fight could happen this year. Obviously, guys are going to have to win it. It depends how long the suspensions are. But yeah, as long as everything goes right, this fight should happen.
They've created a really weird kind of like accepted career path now, which is you fight in your division, you beat a bunch of guys, you win your title in your division, and then you move up to the next division right away. This seems to be like the going story for every single division. Every time a guy wins a title, they're like, and so Tyrone Woodley, you're going to move up to 185? He's like, I might do it. Like that's the only thing that exists. We're in the era of super fights. Now that I say it out loud, I realize we know this stuff, and it's obviously going to be Connor. It would be the dump. It would be, why would they make any other fight? Khabib doesn't want anything else. Connor wants, everybody wants it. We get to drink more fucking proper 12 whiskey, and we can kill the Connor McGregor hype train forever.
Oh, that'll be a sad day. See, part of the problem is it's like, who else could Connor fight? Could you do Nate Diaz again? Yeah. He might lose that fight. You could do that.
But oh, it's like, Khabib's the only fight. It's the best fight. Because again, any other fight you could do with Connor could happen if he's lost to Khabib. Mm. And if he loses to anybody else, the Khabib fight doesn't necessarily work as well. Because the Khabib fight is dependent upon some aspect of like sporting pride and being involved. Like, nobody's going to watch Connor and Nate fight because they care about the sport of it all.
Yeah. The only way it might be bigger is if they did, like, Khabib versus Ferguson and Khabib beats Tony, uh-huh, and then Connor beats somebody, uh-huh, else, whether it's Nate or Poirier or somebody else. But then maybe they both come out bigger and looking more legit and the fight does a little more. But maybe. But I don't even know if that's the case. But you're risking both of them if you do that.
Also, what's the point? The last time they fought, it was the biggest thing ever. So if something was the biggest
thing
ever.
Because you can drag Connor out a little bit. I think Connor losing again one-sided, it's like, he's looking bad at that point. You know, like, I feel like a win and then a loss would bolster him up a little bit, I think. But I don't know.
All right, I'll do it. I'll fight him. And I'll take a dive.
What's the weight class?
It doesn't matter. I'll make sure I go down in the first. Just to be safe. We don't want to accidentally upset this one.
One fight that's not going down, according to Dana, is Nick Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal. It was. What's so funny?
Just the idea that the fight that Dana's got to be out there, like, nope, that shit's not happening. And I imagine he's got to be like, I don't know where somebody came up with this bullshit. It sounds like a Diaz thing.
The bout was rumored to be going down at the upcoming UFC 232. That's not right. March 2nd. Must have been 234. I don't know. But Diaz wasn't too committed to the fight, citing contract issues with the promotion. According to White, it's pretty clear the fight is no longer going to happen. All you've got to do is look at Diaz's Instagram. I don't think it looks like he's training for a fight.
On the other hand, who knows with Diaz? I mean, he also could just be in the middle of marathons. As if, I don't know why this fight was going to be made in the first place. Like, of all the fights, like, Nick Diaz comes back after half a decade away, and he's going to fight Jorge Masvidal. Like,
yeah. It did seem weird. I agree. But the Diazes are weird, and I think they like Masvidal for some reason. Like, I think he offered to take a short-notice fight with Nate when Poirier pulled out of the New York show, and they like that or whatever. That was the vibe I get, but he's a gangster like they are.
These are not the smartest individuals, are they? And yet, they have outsmarted everyone on route to making millions of dollars. So,
yeah, I don't know if wealth and intelligence always go hand in hand. There's probably smart poor people out there too.
That's for sure. That's definitely true.
Another guy who's not going to fight anytime soon in the UFC is Fabricio Werdum. He's currently serving a 2-year suspension by USADA. According to his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, who's always a good source of information, he said, I think Fabricio's done. You will never see him in the UFC again. They need to do what they need to do, but at the end of the day, Fabricio has to do whatever he needs to do for his family. After his suspension ends and he comes back, he'll be 43. What is he going to do? If they open a senior league, we'll wait. I think Fabricio will be fighting in Russia next, to be honest with you.
Wow.
I need the UFC's blessing for this. I want their blessing.
I mean, okay. If he's that desperate for money, then he made some bad career choices a long time ago. And I'm guessing one of those bad career choices is hiring Ali Abdelaziz to manage your affairs. I'm shocked that after having had this moron run all of your money for a decade or whatever, that you have nothing despite being a world champion.
Looking forward to Verdum getting stabbed at his next fight in Chechnya.
Oh, come on. There is no male-to-male penetration in Chechnya.
We have no such people.
What if they
Another
don't?
guy who's not going to be in the UFC anytime soon is Jimmy Smith. He announced on Twitter's departure from the promotion
Wait,
because the
what?
UFC declined to re-sign him. Jimmy Smith, the color commentator, bald guy.
Why the fuck would they get rid of Jimmy Smith?
He wrote on Twitter, "Now that the new year has arrived, I'm afraid I have to announce that the UFC has declined to re-sign me, and my time with the promotion has come to an end. I just want to thank everyone at the promotion who made me feel welcome and appreciate every single show."
He must be a pain in the ass or something. Doesn't seem like it, but.
Some of the rumors included that Bisping's going to be a color commentator, and there wasn't room for old Jimmy Smith. Somebody else said he was talking shit about John Jones on Twitter, and they fired him. I don't know
It's
what
probably
the truth is.
it kind of seems more like he's as much as like Jimmy Smith, I think he's great. He doesn't serve a function from like a TV person's perspective. They got Rogan who does the same thing Smith does, but he's better at all of it. And other than that, he's just a guy. He's not that great at his job, I guess. That he's no Paul Felder, that's for sure. That's all I really want to say.
I'm twittering Jimmy Smith right now. Let's see what's going on with him. Jimmy Smith.
And that's the thing also is that as the sport gets older and the UFC becomes more and more like the NFL as far as like how it gets integrated into the ESPN and all that, guys like former fighters are going to start transitioning and they're going to need those roles. Kenny Florian can't be the only guy on TV anymore.
Yeah, not seeing much. I like Jimmy Smith. I thought he was good.
Yeah, me
I
too. I
mean,
was a big
I don't
fan.
feel strongly one way or the other. I'm not gonna like miss him or anything, but he was good. I didn't have an issue with him. I'd much rather have him than DC.
Well, okay, yeah, but no, I mean, I wish him well in his future, and
Future endeavors.
yeah, maybe he could be the actually he'd be a really good English person for 1FC, kind of be their spokesperson in America, unless they hire me to do it.
You are really desperate for some work.
Yeah, new year, new me.
Oh, and some good news. A person who's getting a big break is Greg Hardy. He is going to co-main UFC's first ESPN card.
And on the same card fights Paige VanZant, who was not renewed by Reebok. Oh, sucks to be a woman these days in the UFC.
Why?
We know
We
why.
live in a world where Greg Hardy is gonna come in like the biggest show in like I want to say UFC history, obviously, but it's a big show. The first show on ESPN, like this is big for UFC. It's like you're gonna come in with Greg Hardy. It's so stupid.
Look, we have established how Jon Jones is the Hannibal Lecter run free of the UFC. Well, Greg Hardy is coming. And this may be why Jon Jones doesn't want to go up to heavyweight. Maybe he's seen the future and he's like, I ain't gonna fuck with that stuff. Because think about it, they're just letting Greg Hardy, I mean, they're gonna let Jon Jones do steroids. If they let Greg Hardy do steroids, oh boy, this is gonna get real bad real quick.
So, the card, I'm trying to find the date. It's the one with Dillashaw
Yeah, it's going to be a
and
good show. It's like next weekend or
Cejudo.
something.
It's not this coming week. I think
13th.
the 19th.
Oh,
I'm
next. Oh,
sorry,
okay, 2 weeks.
19th.
Okay, good.
So a couple weeks. But so this is how it works. The early prelims are on ESPN Plus. The prelims are on regular old ESPN at 8 o'clock. And then they're going to try and get you to go to ESPN Plus for the main card at 10, which kind of makes sense. The main card's got it's headlined by Cejudo versus Dillashaw, co-main Alan Crowder versus Greg Hardy. Then you've got Gregor Gillespie versus Yancy Medeiros, Benavidez versus Dustin Ortiz, Rachel Ostovich versus Paige VanZant, and Ion Cutaleba versus Glover Teixeira. So it's a good main card, good free show.
Oh, I mean, this would be a good
a lot of
this
names.
Would be a good pay per view, yeah. To be honest.
Just open the main card with Hardy. Yeah. It's just crazy.
I mean, I get it's ESPN. I'm sure it's their call. We get it. We know why this is happening. I watch sports. I don't. Yeah,
cool.
I mean, Greg Hardy.
Tell
Greg
me more.
Hardy was always he's a guy, but I don't know. Are there that many people out there who are just like, oh, really? Greg Hardy's doing MMA? I can't wait to watch that. Like, it'd be like if Brian Urlacher was going to fight. I'd be like, oh, that's kind of sad. Like, whenever you see, like, athletes doing something that isn't their sport, my first instinct is always, oh, what went wrong with his career? Because we know what he's put on this earth to do, and it's to make $1 billion more, okay, a couple million dollars more, playing football. So I'm still going to watch.
What's ESPN Plus? $5?
Yeah.
All right.
Best money I spend every month.
Better than the weed?
Second best money I spend every month.
No shows this weekend. There's no UFC. There's no Bellator. There's no PFL. There's no Ryzen. Everybody's on vacation, it seems like.
Well, that's kind of depressing. I guess they all want to get ready for college football.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, the national championship game is on Monday. So,
what are you going to do Friday and Saturday?
Not me. The fight fans. Bellator and all them want to see the stage for the weekend to the college football so we can all just pregame.
What are you going to do this weekend with no fights?
Oh, I'm going to pregame for the college football. I'm going to read blogs about it and watch Kirk Herbstreit.
Do you care about college football? Do you care about it at all?
I mean, I like when it's...
Me neither.
I will watch, I'll watch it when it's on TV. I don't hate it. Like, I like football enough, but
In stuff news, Mean Gene Okerlund has died at the age of 76. You probably remember him as a kid, Mr. Coughlin, WCW, WWF.
Oh, yeah.
Like, announcer guy.
Oh, yeah, way back
when. He would interview wrestlers. What are your first memories of Mean Gene?
My first memory is probably I'm sure it's just him interviewing Hogan or Warrior. It just seems like that's what I always remember. That eating one of his hamburgers at Mean Gene's Hamburgers in the Sioux Falls Airport. That was a treat. There was a napkin with his face on it. I had that for years. It's sad that he's dead, I guess. I mean, I never heard anything bad about him.
He's such like a throwback because now it's like they're so concerned about people's appearances and how they look and are they camera friendly and all the shit. And like you go back to like the mid 80s or whatever. I mean, he died at 76. You're talking like he was probably like my age almost, like totally bald already and like not in good shape at all. But he was on this like nationally syndicated huge program. And it's just odd because Vince's so concerned with how guys look and their bodies and he's pushing all these steroid guys. But for years he had Mean Gene on TV.
Yeah. Well, back then, I guess they recognized the value of what he could do. It was a different time when somebody had the audacity to think that the guy who we pay to talk should be able to talk. Who cares if he looks pretty or not, but we can't all be Michael Cole. So rest in peace, Mean Gene. I mean, he did his thing.
I liked Mean Gene. I liked him. It's like as a straight guy playing off the wrestlers. He could be sarcastic and, would you stop it? And the stuff with Heenan. But I was thinking today, too, it's like all those guys are dead now. Gorilla Monsoon, Heenan, Mean Gene, just those commentators in that era, like the guys I grew up watching. And I'm thinking, like, how is Jesse Ventura and Hulk Hogan still alive? And Mean Gene and Heenan, and like the guys who weren't all roided up and probably on as many drugs are dead. Like, that didn't, it was just weird how life can be that way. You never know who's going to make it and who's not. And I was thinking about it a little bit. I'm like, that's really weird that some of these wrestlers are still going, knowing what they did, and the announcers of the same generation are all dropping off.
Yeah, and really the person that loses the most is Gabby Garcia, because she loses another potential opponent.
I would watch that. Mean Gene wrestled once in the Russo era in WCW. It was in a tag match with Mark Madden.
Of course he did.
Nobody remembers it, though, except for me, because it was so weird. I like the most obscure random shit. Another obscure random person passed away. Super Dave Osborne, also known as Bob Einstein. You familiar?
I had no idea. Well, that's not true. But it's only been the past couple years that I really became aware that he was not Dave Osborne. Like, in my brain, he was always Understood. Super Dave. That's just who he is. Right. I didn't realize, like, he's an actor, comedian that created this character. Like, I don't know. He's just like this weird fucking failed stunt guy that I wasn't really sure what it was on Saturday mornings for a while. And then he went away.
You know what? Like, I think it was on after wrestling when I was a kid, like after, cause it would be Superstars on Saturday morning, then Challenge. And somewhere in there, I remember Super Dave being on. I don't know if it was for a year or a couple years or
like a cartoon, what the window
was, cause I was young. There was a cartoon too, and I didn't know if it was real or fake because I was probably, whatever, 10 years old and only half paying attention or whatever. But some of that stuff, looking back, I was watching some of it today. It's pretty freaking funny. Like, all the stuff, he's getting shot out of a cannon, but it's like clearly just like a dummy being shot out of this cannon, flopping around. He's getting like crushed by different like monster trucks and all this stuff, and the stunts always go wrong. And it's just a ripoff of Evel Knievel, but it was a little Borat like in a way.
Like I say, it's kind
back of on. It's kind of, it was ahead of its time in a way.
Yeah, it was kind of a little meta commentary thing. And look, to me, I love the guy just from his work on Curb Your Enthusiasm. I think he was a genius, and hey, rest in peace to him too, I guess. I wonder who's next. Some weirdos out there is gonna be going, oh, this isn't gonna be a good week for me. Like the guy from like Pet Shop Boys or something, I don't know. What's his face? Boy George. If I was Boy George, I'd be on the lookout for death. He should probably be on the lookout for death anyways. I mean,
have you seen Bird Box on Netflix?
I have.
I have not.
I watched it on New Year's Eve.
Winning. What were your thoughts?
It was good. I was going to say, it wasn't like it reinvented the wheel or anything like that, but a good solid thriller, and yeah.
Okay. Following the release of Netflix's Bird Box, the streaming service is urging viewers not to partake in a challenge which involves people putting blindfolds on themselves.
I mean, you're sitting there and you're an executive at Netflix, right? And like, you're friends with Barack Obama and all this shit. You're worth all this obscene amounts of money. And every day you have to hear people chanting and saying, you're evil. You're the 1%. You're what's wrong with this country. You're consolidating power. Why should you have this? We should take from these greedy, evil, rich people, and give to the people, the masses. And then you got to be sitting there, and sometimes you have to think, God damn, am I wrong? Am I greedy? Like, they have to wonder that, right? They have to sit there and go, am I really evil, like Bernie Sanders and all of them say that I am? And then they have to realize, no, I'm not. I deserve to have my money because my customers need to be told, don't put a fucking blindfold on and run around the fucking world. These people are morons who deserve to not have any of their money. We should give all of our money to Netflix.
Quote, unquote, Netflix on Twitter said, can't believe I have to say this, but please do not hurt yourselves with this Bird Box challenge. We don't know how this started, and we appreciate the love. But have just one wish for 2019, and is that you do not end up in the hospital due to memes.
There's gonna be so many. We're all worried about children dying from school shootings, and yet the future does seem to be involving more meme-related death than I could have ever imagined. Yeah, we are having to tell people, hey, don't hurt yourself. What? Why are we doing this? Why are we? This is the nanny state. Forget about the nanny state. The nanny state used to be, you know, people were concerned, like, the government's telling me what to do. I don't want to ride with a helmet or whatever, like, that's me. But there was kind of like this idea that, like, they were kind of like just kind of a little annoying. And now it's like different. This isn't nanny state behavior. A nanny would never tolerate a child so stupid. If you had a little child that had to be told not to hurt itself, you wouldn't leave it in the care of a nanny. You'd commit it. We as a society need to be committed and never allowed out of a room, because otherwise we will watch a movie and as a result of watching a movie think, yeah, let's fucking blindfold myself and drive a car. I bet I can do it.
They're doing like stupid shit around the house, like trying to do the laundry blindfolded and stuff, I guess is what is happening.
I thought it was, we all deserve everything that's coming to us.
You know what though? Here's the thing. There are blind people in the world who manage to function. I don't know how much of a challenge this is.
That is true. It is a little insulting to be like, hey, man, look at this. I was able to look at this really impressive thing I managed to do. Without the use of my eyes, I was able to bathe myself. Oh, look at that. Look, I took a shit in the toilet and didn't splash everywhere. I'm a miracle worker. These blind people have no idea how impressive this is.
What do you know about Christian Pulisic? Did I
Christian
pronounce
Pulisic,
that right?
Great. I know everything about
him. He signed with Chelsea.
Yes.
$73 million deal.
Yeah.
Is this a big deal? Do we care?
Yeah. I'm upset. I thought there was a rumor he's going to sign with Liverpool for a while, but Chelsea, I don't like them as a club. They're very posh. They also have a kid.
The irony.
I'm not posh. Nobody would have been...
If you're watching Premier League soccer, it's a little snooty.
I guess that's true. But I'm watching for the hooligans. I mean, I think it looks like he'll be in a good situation, though. The money is like 3 or 4 times more than any American player has ever gone for. It's the kind of money that, like, if a club spends that money on somebody, they're serious about them. Like, that's real money. Even today, like, the prices are inflated. So, yeah, it's a deal. But at the same time, he's no guaranteed still. He still has to prove it. Like, he's got all this talent. He's shown himself to be very good. But he's got that potential to be, like, a legitimately, like, world-class player. And I think what he needs to do is just buckle down, listen to me, obviously. clearly, at the age of 35, I should be giving advice to 20-year-old Wonder Kids athletes. Yeah, think about that though. If he didn't know what he was doing, he's just like I need a lawyer. And he could like find me to be like, hey, look at that. He's older than me, and he's a lawyer. He could rely on me for advice. And I would just be looking at him being like, dude, you're 20, and you're a god. I hate you. That went dark. Ew. I have some unresolved issues.
Like has he played for the U.S. team, like the national team yet, or was he too
young? No, he's played. Yeah, he's played for the national team since he's like 17. And when he plays, he's clearly the best player we have. Like, he is a step above anything we've ever really had in American soccer. So, and I think some.
Who was the best before it? Like Landon Donovan? Or something?
If you set aside goalkeepers, because America's had like some oddly like world class goalkeepers. Played for Manchester United and shit like that, like highest of the high level. So I think it's because we're big. We're just big people. Other than that, as far as like outfield players, as they would say, you got your Landon Donovans and those types of guys. Clint Dempsey, maybe. Not a ton of guys. Like, you know, we're talking people who are backup-ish on lower to mid-level teams in the Premier League, and Christian Pulisic is being brought in as like a potential starting star level guy on a club that has ambitions to be the realistic ambitions to be the best team in all of Europe. So it's quite the big. Yeah. It goes from like journeyman baseball player to all So, yeah, good for him.
I wonder if he'll make it or the pressure will get him.
Even if not pressure, it could just be the fact there's only so many guys who are that good in life. I watch a lot of soccer, I have to admit. And they're really good at it. These guys are really good at this shit. It's impressive.
Were you at a motel in Memphis last week?
No, I was not.
This must not have been you. There's a big mess at a motel in Memphis Thursday night after a guest got gross and began flinging feces in the lobby.
Oh, I think you meant last weekend. On a Thursday? Oh, well, no, still not. Disgusting.
It happened around 7:20 p.m. at the Airport Inn on Brooks Road near I-55. Police said they responded to the motel three times Thursday because of the alleged antics of Bernstine Wright, 53 years old.
Three times? Like
the first time.
How many times did the police get called? Yeah, we got a patron who's throwing shit around here. And you're the cops, you gotta go, all right, well, that's not something we do. And then you just every time they call back, you have to be like, well, no, we don't do that. And the third time you have to be like, okay, I guess if she's still throwing it, it's been like 15 minutes. This could be like a medical emergency or something here. So yeah.
The first time, police said motel staff told them she was drunk and wandering the motel, causing a disturbance. Officers said she slammed a door on an officer's foot when they arrived and used the bathroom on herself.
And yet they didn't do anything with her. Just like, well, she shat herself after she hit a cop, but I'm not touching her. And by the way, if you ever want to know how you get out of, like, most people, if you hit a cop with the door, they're going to take you in. The way to ensure they don't is just to shit yourself. Because they're like, oh, fuck, I'm not doing this.
Police gave her a warning and left, but were called back less than an hour later. This time, police said Wright was in the lobby, flinging her feces, urine-soaked towels, and empty beer cans at fellow guests and staff.
I like that the towels are soaked in urine. she's like, there's so much urine on the floor. It's sopping, and she's like carrying it down to the front desk. Because, like, we're aware that she soiled herself in the room. The cops watched her soil herself. And then sometime during that soiling, she cleaned it up partially, scooped up the feces with her hand, because, duh, that's what you do, and then made her way down to the lobby. You can imagine the people who got in the elevator with her must have been like, oh, fuck. Like, you know, you usually are in the elevator, and you just, like, don't make eye contact. Like, that's one of those where you're like, I don't know if I want to, like, make eye contact and, like, let her know, like, hey, I'm on your side. They give them hell for me, like, so, like, she thinks you're friendly. Or you're afraid if you acknowledge her that she will do that thing where, like, you know, you twist up a wet towel real tight and smack someone with it. She would do that with her urine-soaked towel.
Police said they escorted her from the property at this point. Don't nobody want to clean up no other man's feces. That's just sickly, and that's probably why I'm sick now, said a man who works as a janitor at the motel. He said this isn't the first time he's had to clean up something disgusting. Doing a lot of things.
Yeah. Oh, you're telling me that the if you want to talk about a guy who has seen some things in this world that'll turn you white, is the janitor at a motel outside of a Memphis airport. The stories. Like, every time that guy opens a door, you just know he holds his breath. He's got to be like, all right, let's see what the fuck the kids did this time. He opens it up, and he's never sure what color things are, what those fluids are, if that's a real dead body or what is going on.
This is Rampage Jackson country.
Yeah.
They've been doing a lot of things that's obscene because I've cleaned up feces, and God knows. I just don't know, man. After leaving the motel, police said Wright eventually returned, and they arrested her. As they were doing so, she allegedly said she wasn't going down without a fight and asked if the officers would like to brawl, then threatened to blow up the motel.
Wait a second. Is she related to that guy that said he was going to drop a bomb in the toilet and then they called the cops on him because he's taking a dump at that restaurant?
No, I think this is unrelated.
Man, is this just a new trend of people threatening bodily poop bombs on hotels and establishments? You know, if you're a cop, you know, you like that cop. all those cops were on a very, very, very quick trigger finger on the stun gun for this one. They must be like, she makes one step towards me, I'm going to tase that bitch. She is covered in her own feces and shit. I am going to tase her so fucking fast that she is going to fry in her own urine-soaked towel.
Yeah, do you think you get, like, electrocuted more when they zap you if you're covered in urine that's still wet?
I don't think that being covered in urine ever helps any situation that you're in. It never makes things better. Like, nobody's ever been like, unless it's you're, like, stung by a jellyfish. The only time anybody's ever been like, I'm so glad I'm covered in urine is if immediately after that, a bunch of jellyfish fell on them.
Motel staff told police Wright caused $1,400 worth of damage in her room alone. Wright is charged with assault, disorderly conduct, public intoxication, vandalism, and aggravated criminal trespass.
The public intoxication one's bullshit, because she was not publicly intoxicated. To paraphrase the great Ron White, she was intoxicated in private. They dragged her outside. She does not want to be intoxicated in public. Like, this woman was trying to be intoxicated in private, and these prissy little cops and these uptight motel employees had a problem with the way that she was expressing herself as a woman.
Oh, God, that's good. I love that they had to go back three times. Like, a lot of problems could have been solved if they just arrested her when she slammed the door on their feet. Like, these were very patient cops.
Yeah, it's weird to think that these people are in the exact same profession as those that just shoot people on the slightest provocation. Meanwhile, this woman's doing everything she can to get shot, and they're like, "Nah, give her some space, guys. Let's come back two or three more times and see if she's sorted this out." You know how when people shit themselves and piss themselves when they're clearly high on drugs, you know how usually it just gets better right away? I'm sure that's what's going to happen. Hero cops is what we call them.
And we'll do one more story here because I think we got a minute or so. I lost my thing in my phone here. I don't know how much time I don't even know if we're fucking recording at this point. This is also a story from Memphis. That seems to be the theme today.
What did Jerry Lawler do to some Rampage kid?
That was just bullshit fabricated by Wade Keller back in 1994.
Like, weren't some of those, like, girlfriends of his, like, known to be 18? Like, he would, like, brag about, like, yeah, she's 18, she's still in high school.
The statutory rape charge is what I'm referring to.
Well, yeah.
I like that he ran for mayor and finished third in Memphis. It's pretty good.
Nowadays, he'd win.
Probably. His heart's not up to it now. A Memphis woman said she feels betrayed after her date stole her car and then used it to go on a date with her god sister.
I'm have to hear more. Let's see why.
As far as nights out go, Faith Pugh said the one she had Saturday with Kelton Griffin was disappointing from the beginning. She said when he showed up, he didn't even bring his own car. I don't know who dropped him off. He just got dropped off, Pugh said. Pugh said she knew Griffin from their years in high school, but hadn't spoken to him much lately until he reached out and suggested dinner.
This sounds like suspiciously like something I might do.
He just out of the blue texted me and asked me to go out, Pugh said. They took Pugh's black Volvo, but then Pugh said Griffin couldn't decide where he wanted to take
her. By the way, she's presenting this like his behavior is kind of weird. Keep in mind, she said yes.
Right. Must be her fault. No. They ended up stopping at an airport area gas station.
What is with airport? Yeah. Is this the same Memphis airport?
I'm not sure, but that's why I'm bringing it up. He asked me, could I go in the gas station for him to get a cigar, she said. Turns out that was a big mistake. He drove off. I came outside and my car was gone, Pugh said.
In this place Pugh was a bunch of mother shit and piss-stained towels.
Pugh said her mother picked her up, but then she got a surprising text from her god sister saying Griffin had asked her out.
Okay.
I said, okay, well, send me the address to where you at, and I'm on my way. Tell him to come on.
How is she on her way? She doesn't have a car. He's one step ahead of her.
Pew said they used the GPS on your god sister's phone to tail Griffin before losing him, but then found him again at a drive-in movie theater on Summer Avenue.
Okay, using your GPS to tail him. This sounds like it's gone from, like, he stole, like, my car to he's kidnapped her.
Pew said he was in her car with her god sister. He let her drive, so she drove him to the drive-in. He didn't even have any money. She actually paid their way to get in the drive-in so I could get my car
this
back.
This guy is some sort of stud. I mean, he has absolutely nothing going on at any moment in this story, and yet he has two dates in one night.
And a car, and a new Volvo, I mean, and free movie tickets.
He called up some girl he hadn't seen since high school. He's like, hey, girl, you want to hang out? And she's like, sure. He just strolls up to her place without a car, says, let's take your car. She drives him over to a gas station. He's like, hey, baby, why don't you walk inside and get me some cigars and shit like that? So she goes inside. He steals her car, picks up her sister, god sister, whatever the fuck it is, and like, hey, baby, let's go to the movies. I'm not going to tell you where we're going. We're just going to go to the movies. By the way, you need to pay for me. And then these women keep doing it. This is why the Me Too movement happened, ladies. You keep thinking that men are these awful, disgusting pigs, and we are. This guy's behavior isn't even all that abnormal for a man. Like, I could see men doing this. Men are horrible creatures. And yet there were two of you willing to probably sleep with him on the same night. I mean, the one of them was a god. One of them was her godchild or whatever, who presumably knows the car. It's like, hey, this car looks familiar. Calls up her friend. It's like, hey, I think he stole your car. Still goes on the date with him. Doesn't stop going on the date. Women, you're the problem. As awful as men are, you keep falling for us.
Police arrested Griffin that
for
night.
What?
It's not his first stealing a car, presumably. It's not his first arrest. Yeah. In 2016, police said he and two other men ate out before robbing a restaurant. If he's looking for company for his next meal out, Pew said he needn't look to her. I hope he's in jail for a long time. I never want to speak to him ever again, she said.
So basically, this guy is a master of crimes that involve slightly breaking social rules, and they tend to involve a date or a social gathering of some sort. He knows how to dine and dash and to
Jack.
He's basically a dine and dasher. His big move is to go someplace, get food or get something, have the person responsible for it get out of sight, and then run away. This is his go-to move. I guarantee you, if they'd gone that date at the dinner, if the movie theater had gone out a little later, that chick would have been going to buy popcorn and he would have been out of there. Or he would have been out of there and he would have taken the purse that she left behind.
Is there anything else we
need? No, not at all.
No, I'm quickly checking the Twitter here. Doesn't appear to be any big Trump news or anything big. Here.
He's been real
Bernie
quiet.
Sanders.
He's been real
Bernie Sanders
quiet.
Sexual harassment.
Oh, there we go. That'll be good. Well, look,
his campaign didn't address reports of sexual harassment. Sounds like it wasn't him, but people in his thing.
Well, he was just
in his campaign.
Look, to each according to their information.
This is good. Jeff Weaver, Sanders' 2016 campaign manager, expressed some regret with how the 2016 operation was run. Was it too male? Yes. Was it too white? Yes. Would this be a priority to remedy on any future campaign? Definitely.
Really? That's your priority? Maybe just stop losing. Whatever. Who cares?
They cheated.
They did. He got fucked out of the election. And I'm supposed to believe that. Oh, yeah. So the party that clearly rigged democracy within its own internal machinations. Oh, yeah. This is going to go real well there. Bernie, I don't know what fantasy planet you live in. You keep thinking that your government's going to do the right thing. Your own party doesn't do the right thing, motherfucker.
I like the idea of Bernie and Trump debating.
God damn
like,
it,
makes me so happy.
Oh,
it makes me so happy.
Boy.
These two old farts not even listening to each other. Be so
and
good.
Yet they both seem to energize young men. violent weird. Young men seem to like both of them. It's like we're all looking for some, we're all desperate some, for some sort of old father figure to get behind.
Oh, God. It'll be good. It'll be good. All right. On that note, I think we'll close out the show. Thank you for listening to MMA and stuff on halfguarded.com. iTunes, Google Play, check out the Twitter, the Instagram. It's all just under Half Guarded. Like us, follow us, do all that stuff. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.